Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, open our eyes. You can just pray this with me. Just when you pray, say, my eyes, my ears, my heart. You can just pray that prayer. Father, open our eyes to see. Open our ears to hear. Open our hearts to receive. And give us the grace to walk in obedience so that we can be partakers of the fruit of your kingdom. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 I thank God you're here this morning, and I pray by the grace of the Lord, you will not leave the way you came. I pray this morning that I'm glad there are other people here. I'm glad there are people sitting by your side and on different sides of this sanctuary. But I pray that this morning it will appear as it's just you and Jesus. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 1. In the book of John, when Jesus was on the cross, the Bible says on that cross, he cried and he said, it's finished. Amen? And the Bible says there was a tremendous thing that happened when he finished. When he said that statement, it's finished. Bible says there was all kinds of shaking that took place. But there was this statement that was made specifically about that moment, about the finished work of the cross. Was, it says, the veil of the temple was rended. The veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. The veil of the temple was the only thing that kept every man away. It's the only thing that separates man from God, the children of Israel. Because then only the high priest had access to the glory, to the presence of God, where the ark was. But now it says the veil was torn when the work was finished. So now we have access. So somehow, this word this morning is, I don't know how you can interpret it however way the Lord speaks to you, but the best way I remember it as the Lord was speaking to me is, you have no more excuse. No more excuse. So let's read from the book of 1 Samuel. Now, there was a southern man at Ramat Zophim of the Mount of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, and the son of Toho, the son of Zor, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of the city yearly. What they do yearly is basically what the church does weekly on Sundays now, just tradition-wise, in the New Testament, Sundays. And this man went up yearly, went out of the city yearly to worship. Everybody say worship. Amen. That's what we come to do. To worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. So they had pastors there. And they had a senior pastor there. His name is Eli. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all his sons and daughters portions. But listen to this. But unto Hannah, he gave a worthy portion. Means a double portion. For he loved Hannah. But the Lord had what? Shut up her womb. Listen to this, verse 6. And her adversary also what? Provoked her soul. Meaning provoked her severely, miserable, made life miserable for her. For to make her fright, miserable, because the Lord has shut up her womb. She's not fruitful. And as he did so year by year, Sunday by Sunday, that's our tradition. When she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Who is provoking her? Huh? Her adversary. Church members, huh? Okay. And as he did so year by year, when she went, it wasn't stranger, it was church members. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart, listen to this, why is thy heart grieved? Why are you so hot? Why are you so much in pain? Church people are in a lot of pain. Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh. And after they had drunk, Hannah left. Now Eli, the senior pastor, the priest that sat upon the seat by the post of the temple of the Lord's house. Meaning he was sitting, the ark was somewhere there. He sits where, you know, he kind of is, the priest intermits between the people and God. Now Eli the priest sat upon his seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And this Hannah, verse 10, and she was in bitterness of soul. Bitterness of soul. She's been so hurt, so wounded in church by church members. And she was in bitterness of soul. And she prayed unto the Lord and wept with anguish greatly. Verse 11. And she vowed a vow. This is something was happening now in the time of her prayer. She made a vow, made a commitment, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me, and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. It was going to be consecrated unto the Lord. Verse 12. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli, the senior pastor, marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spoke in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli, the senior pastor, thought she had been drunken. Very amazing discernment. Lack of discernment. Verse 14. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thy handmaid for a daughter of Belial. For out of the abundance of my complaints, my heart, my brokenness and grief, have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat after she ate. And her countenance, I want you to hear this. Her countenance, she came one way, miserable, grieved, bitterness of heart, bitterness of soul. The Bible says when she left, her countenance was no more sad. When she left church, she's not had just an encounter with man. She's had an encounter with God. She never left the way she came. For the first time after many years, she actually went to church. Verse 19. And they rose up early in the morning, worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house to Ramah. Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And they had their baby boy called Samuel, for she said, I have asked him of the Lord. Amen. If time allows, they've removed that big clock there. If time allows, there's one more scripture I will read eventually if we're able to get there. But if not, then the Lord has allowed what he needed for this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you. The children of Israel, they had a covenant with God. Different from every other nation. So God established a relationship with them, and God gave them time for them to come yearly, three times a year, and yearly to come as a corporate, as a unit, as a family before him, outside of their personal time. Of course, for us, after restoration, after the church came, they were meeting daily, but through the writings of Paul and what happened in Acts. Some were meeting at the first day of the week, which was Sunday. And of course, that has become tradition. We meet from the resurrection, the beginning of the church, from Pentecost Sunday. So the church meets every Sunday, traditionally. So they were meeting yearly. At this time, the ark, which represents the glory, the presence of God, was in Shiloh, was in the temple at Shiloh. So now, what are they coming yearly to do? They are coming to honor God, to worship God. Amen? So now, at that time, they were the high priest and the family of the high priest that under they do the ministry. They are consecrated to take care of the things of the temple, to help create the atmosphere for the children of Israel to be able to receive what they are coming for, yearly to receive. So the high priest was, of course, Eli, and he had two sons which were serving with him, Hophni and Phinehas. In those days, the ark was there. It represents God's presence. It represents God's glory. But now, the children of Eli, who were the priests, who were serving under him, they've corrupted themselves. They become very perverted, sensual, and totally giving themselves to demonic things in the church. So, there's every reason for those coming who have heard the abuse of the priest. They have every excuse for them not to have encounters with God. They have every reason, because to them, the man, the people that are responsible for creating the atmosphere, for making sure that we have breakthroughs, we have encounters, they have failed. And they made things worse. So that's excuse number one, very big one. They have every excuse because Eli was not correcting his children, was not changing things, and things remained the same for a long time. So, they had excuse that the pastors or the priests or the people in charge have failed. Very big excuse. They have excuse a man has failed them. My brothers and sisters, God never fails. So, with all this that is happening inside the church of that time, there were members in the church that were, you can look at it two ways. Elkanah was a member of the church. Hannah is a member of the church. Peninnah is a member of the church. And they had children that are members of the church in Shiloh. So, the Bible said that because of the condition of Hannah, Hannah has not received breakthrough. She's barren. Peninnah has received breakthrough. She has children. You can look at it like, this church is big. This church is small. This church has many members. This church doesn't even have a member. A lot of men. You can look at it that way. You can look at it personally. This guy is blessed. This one is not. This one has children. This one has not. This one has this. This has not. This is big. This is small. You can look at it whichever way. But in this church, they are all in church. He said that from what we read, because this person has not had breakthrough, one, she was struggling. She was struggling with her situation. Her husband loved her. She had blessed her with money or whatever, double portion, anything he wants. But this one thing, she doesn't have. And that was painful to her. In the midst of her pain and her struggle, this other church member rubbed it on her over and over and over. Until the Bible says she became bitter. Everybody said, thank God she still goes to church at least. There are many people out there all over this city that have been hurt in church. But they don't go to church anymore. You know their excuse? This person hurt me. This person hurt me. That one did this to me. That one did that to me. The church does not have this. The church does not have that. This one does not have this. The pastors are this. The senior pastors is that. Eli is that. There's so much they could look at. So they said, I'm not going. I want you to read this correctly. Who invited them to Shiloh yearly? Is it Eli? Is it the children? Or is it God? If you go to church for man, you get man. If you're obeying God, you're serving God for man, that's what you get. No man has ever called you to salvation. No man saved you. No man can be God to you. If you are serving God and you don't understand the difference that God uses men, you will miss your purpose for encounters with God. Hannah, I don't think there's anybody that has been hurt like the Bible described with Hannah in church. She was hurt in church. She was hurt at home. She was hurt by people that go to church, but she still went to church. Why? She was beginning to get a revelation. I'm not going because men invited me. I'm going for the God who died for me. The God who made provision for Israel to serve him. I'm not coming to church because man said, I'm coming to church because of the covenant that brought me into the destiny of Israel. I'm not going because of man. He says they go yearly to worship who? Man or God? Worship God. And to honor him. Sacrifice. So what happened? Because this woman has this attitude of who she is going to church for. The difference is that in the bitterness, in the struggle, in the wound, and the things she's gone through in the church, coupled with the pastors and the leaders of that time, completely have desecrated their calling, compromised their calling. God still wanted to show every generation that will leave that no man can limit you from the presence of God. That no man can be a veil between you and God. This woman is hurt. She is wounded. So what happened? Every time she comes to church on Sundays, or every time she goes to church yearly, do you know what most people do? If you read it year by year, she said when she comes to church, she's hurting. When she goes home, she's hurting. She's hurting. She's bitter. She has cars, she has house, she has, but there's something she doesn't have. And the enemy, even church members, did you read it? It says one of the church members have become an enemy to her. An adversary. In other words, the enemy is using somebody else to make your life miserable in church. Out of immaturity, out of ignorance, out of pride because you have children, it doesn't matter. But somehow, she's allowing the enemy make life miserable for Hannah. So, for some reason, Hannah's focus in church has been a little bit different. So maybe Hannah comes to church every Sunday. She sits while the worship team is going on. That one is not singing. Okay, that one is singing well. The music is not. Okay, they finish. She sings. She does her sacrifice. She goes home. So year by year, her focus in the midst of her need has not been seriously God. Maybe she's among those complaining about what Eli's children were doing or what Eli is permitting in church. But this time around, the enemy has pushed her to her limit. Everybody say, thank God for Hannah. Many people are out there, and I know a lot of them, some of them. They have not gotten to their limit. They are out there. They are still, their message is Eli's children's problem. Their message is what is happening here, rather than connecting with God. Now, there are some that the enemy has pushed over here. And every time they talk to you, anytime they meet you, anytime they, all they talk about is church people, how much they've hurt me. How much that sister, how much that brother, how much that church, how much that church, how much this church. So, the reason I say thank God for Hannah, the enemy has now pushed her. The Bible says this time she came to church bitter. Everybody says, even if I'm bitter, I will still come to God. Men can't take away your bitterness, they add to it. Only one person can heal you from bitterness. There's a lot of bitter believers. Thank God for Hannah. This time she came. Somehow she could not eat. You know, sometimes fasting is not when you fasting is, oh, I'm going to fast. Sometimes fasting is when you are desperate for God. And the only exchange is you lose physical appetite for food because you so much want to encounter God. She was desperate. She lost appetite for all the things that was happening. All the celebration, all the feasting, all the stuff that was going on in the church. She lost complete appetite for the usual dancing, the usual music, the smoke screen, everything that was being done to pacify the people, even when God wasn't moving. She was tired. She knew that all these things that have been happening has not given her fruit. So where is God? Okay. I think all these years I've been looking to Eli. I've been looking to the children. I've been looking to all these ceremonies and all these things in church. I've idolized the singing or the celebration or the ceremonies. This time, there's a reason why God invited me to the church, not to the building. I want to know if the ark is there. The ark is there. The presence of God is there. If it's there, I am going to find that God. So this time she went to church. And the Bible says she came close enough to where Eli could see her. And she went into that place of desperation. And started crying out to God. And started crying out to God. And started worshiping, and started seeking, and started saying, God, for the first time, you invited me, not man. I come to worship you, not man. I come to seek you, not man. Now I understand what church is. It's not about people, it's about an encounter with you. It's all about you. And for some reason, she started worshiping the way Eli is not used to. It wasn't the usual ceremony. She now started worshiping in the spirit. And the senior pastor, Eli, has not seen that kind of worship before. It's just like the woman out there had been looking for God. And all he had was enough of Pharisees and Sadducees. And she kept on doing a harlotry and doing all her business. Nothing could change her life. But she heard about a man called Jesus. The one who works wonders. The one who turns bitter water to sweet. The one who heals the broken. The one who changes situation. She heard about this man. And she has an encounter with this man. When she came to church, church is come to meet Jesus. Come to encounter your Father through His Son. That's what church is. It's not the building. So he came, and guess what she did? She was so in the spirit. And she was loving on Jesus with her perfume, with her hair. She was worshiping. She was laying it all out, was kissing his feet. She was like, this is all I've been looking for. You have all my worship. And all these people were like Eli. What is she doing? If this man is who he says he is he letting a harlot touch you like that? You're tolerating this in church? And that's what Eli told Hannah. Stop your drinking. Because Eli didn't know that she was drunk in the spirit. When you start experiencing God, nobody here knows. Nobody here can control how you feel. They can only look at you on the outside. But when you're in the spirit, it's not the music. It's not the sound of the drums. It's an encounter with the living presence of God's glory. About 2 weeks, I can't remember, there was a visitation here. I knew some people were encountering God. But I knew some others were waiting for the regular thing to happen. The people who persecute you the most when God starts moving are not unbelievers who don't even know what it used to be. They are people who have been so tuned to the old mindset. They told her, Jesus, why is this woman doing this? And Jesus said, you don't have a clue what is happening between me and this woman in the spirit. That's worship. That's being in the spirit. Hannah was in the spirit. For the first time, Hannah bypassed every excuse. Hannah said, this is not going to be my excuse. That's not going to be my excuse. This is not going to be my excuse. I have come for Jesus. I've come for God, and I'm going to go after him. Listen, all those things were still taking place, but Hannah was in a new level. In that place, Hannah encountered God and started talking with God in the spirit. And started talking, started having this encounter. Not what men could, started having this sweet encounter. And in the midst of this encounter, she started having revelations. She started becoming specific about what her problem was. My brothers and sisters, we have to be specific about what we're looking for. She started becoming specific, and in that place of being specific, she went further in the spirit and found out that what she's looking for is the same thing God is looking for. God was looking for a son. Hannah was looking for a son. And God says, give me my first and I'll give you yours. Hannah said, okay, God. He said, I like that deal. I'll give it to you. I'll give it back to you. Unknown to her that the principle of multiplication is given to God first. When God blesses you. God can't trust us with much. You see why Samuel became God's child. Why were the other children? They were not giving back to God. So God says, I need somebody. Eli's children, they are destroying, they are giving me bad reputation. They are blocking, they are messing things up. Eli is condoning it. I don't have anybody to represent me between, to reveal my heart, my love to the people. The door is closed. I need somebody. And it must come through a woman. It must come through somebody. Hannah says, God, I didn't know that's what you're looking for. So now that I know, if you give it to me, I will give him back to you. My brothers and sisters, when you give to God, God will always multiply. Hannah had 5 children. That was hers. But this is God's, Samuel. Why am I sharing this word to you? The need that was on God's heart was somebody to represent him. And the need was this. Was God now finally, Hannah was going through a lot. All these years, barren, had no child. What was she looking for? The thing that Hannah was looking for was a child. Here is the message. Here is what I've come to share with you. That is a picture of the Old Testament. And here's what God started telling me this morning. Say to you, God needs something. God desperately needs something. Until you identify the need that is on God's heart, you will not know that God needs it. God needs something. God desperately needs something. Ask me a question. Say, what is it? Ask me. Say, what does God need? God needs you. God is looking for you. God needs you. What does he need you for? God wants an intimate relationship with you. God wants a deep, personal relationship with you. Do you know why we don't realize it? Because Hannah was barren. That's physical barrenness. Today, we are spiritually. We don't realize how barren we are spiritually. Maybe not all of us. When I talk about spiritual barrenness, I'm talking about how desperate are you to have a relationship with the Lord. God is so desperate for me and for you, he died for it. He died. He cut off removed every excuse that was limiting everybody else and says, I leave it wide open. I really need fellowship with you. But you know what? children. But you're not here about Peninnah having an encounter with God. Peninnah had children. But what did Peninnah say? She had children, but she's causing problems for people in church. She's making people's life miserable in church. So something tells me there's no change in Peninnah's life, even though she's in church. We are to edify one another, not to make life miserable for one another. So now, Hannah came to a place of wilderness, dryness, that made her realize, I really need God. I really need God. And God is saying, I really need you, Hannah. My brothers and sisters, it's not the size of a church. Sometimes there will be a lot of church there, a lot of people. Sometimes you have a lot of buildings, a lot of money, a lot of cars. You have everything that Hannah has. But what about that personal relationship that will make you a blessing to the church and to Israel, to your community? What about that Samuel? What is the fruit of your Christianity that people can say you are a blessing in the church and in the community? Where is your Samuel? There are many of you that already are doing that. But I'm just asking you, Samuels are born, the fruit are born out of intimate relationship with God. And it came out of a woman that says, I have allowed myself all these years to be hurt and to be wounded because I'm looking in the wrong direction in church. But now I know that I've been invited to God's presence in the body of Christ. I've been invited by God. I've been called by God. And I'm here to have an encounter. If the music is not playing, if the music is playing, Eli's children had their own judgment. Eli has his own. God will deal with people. But if you let man and people stop you from obeying a mantle of call for you to come before his presence in a corporate way and go after God and your personal, if you let man hinder you, there is no more excuse from what you can see. Hannah was now fruitful. Her countenance changed. Hannah is now what? A happy person. People who are happy, that doesn't mean you don't have problems, you don't have needs, you don't have crisis, are people who truly come to church and have encounters. They come, they live a different way. They are happy. Before we came to church this morning, I had an encounter with them. Came to the church happy. I wasn't waiting to come to the building. I was so excited. God spoke to me, told me some things. I was like, let's do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wake up. Amen. I thought Coco was sleeping, so I had to. Goodness. Okay, let me give you one secret. I'll read it and then we'll pray. Something, there are so many keys that the Lord has been giving to me lately. I don't want to say this. If I say, there's something I was going to say and pronounce it, but I had to qualify it. I had to say it. I have to share with scriptures for me to say it. So for that reason, I won't say it. But I want to say, give you one key here. And all these keys are kingdom keys. I have found two recently. I've known about so many keys, but I found two that God has made it so obvious to me. Those two keys is making it. Let me just say this. Because of one particular key, I now know how to have power over money. If everybody in this church stopped tithing, I would never lack. I found a key. By the grace of God. But this other key, I want to show to you this morning, is the key that causes a barren soil to produce fruit. Is the key that breaks barrenness. It breaks, if you've been dry spiritually, you are in a place of wilderness spiritually, this key breaks it. This key opens the window for you to hear from the Lord. This key opens a conversation with you and God. This key does a lot. And I want to share the key with you. Hannah found it. But let me expound it from Isaiah chapter 54. If you have your scriptures, open to Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54, verse 1. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing, and cry aloud, thou that hast not travailed with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, says the Lord. Enlarge. He says, enlarge. He's talking about, you will see fruit, enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth thy curtains. In other words, if you want to see abundant fruit, abundant growth, breakthrough, breaking forth from the place of barrenness, the place of wilderness, the place of dryness, the place of struggle. There's a key here. How many of you, you might not know it, you might know it. How many of you know that if there is something you're looking for, God has blessed you many ways, but that thing has not come true. How many of you know that it can cause you to feel hurt, rejected, bitter, struggle, like Hannah did? And other people can make it worse for you, like it happened to Hannah. Hannah was in the worst situation anybody can be. She's barren, but not only barrenness, she is wounded. She is hurting. She is, listen, the Bible said it, she is bitter. No sweetness in her heart anymore. She might look like those people that come to church and say, how you doing? They are the point where they can't even pretend anymore. They can't hide what they are going through anymore. They are now, don't talk to me. Don't. They're just openly at the place where they are. The husband, he didn't even pay attention to the husband. She won't eat. Bad situation. But she found something. All these years, did you see we read it? It says, every year they were invited to worship. Did you see that? To worship God. But something has taken them from it. So guess what? Isaiah 54 was speaking to a barren situation. Was speaking to a barren situation. And you know what God said about breakthrough? He says, sing. Sing, O barren. sing, sing, sing. When something is locked, when that door, a door is locked, it's closed, isn't it? So here is closed, barren. How do you get into a closed door? You put a key in and open it, isn't it? God says, sing, O barren. Open that place. Go in with singing. Sing, O barren. That's a key. God is calling us to a place of intimate worship with Him and me. Not, you see, when we come here to worship, of course, the singing where we dance and we celebrate and we dance, that one we can enjoy it together. But worship, it's not the music. I hope you understand me. It's not the music, because some people say, this is a worship music, this is a praise music, this is this. Worship is, the definition of worship is when you are one-on-one in the Spirit with God. Even though you're in the midst of people. That's what the woman did to Jesus. I'm glad Ven is here. I'm glad my wife is here, by the way. Amen? But when I'm worshiping God, I don't even know if she exists. When I come back from there, welcome, honey. Amen? If she's worshiping God, and she is paying attention to me, that's not worship. Worship is, it says, the Father, John, is looking for those who will worship Him in spirit. And what? And do you know why he said that? Because the woman of the well encountered worship with Jesus and she was healed. And Jesus says, what you just experienced, the day is coming when people will now experience one-on-one encounter at the well of God's glory. Hannah had that experience at the well. She got healed. Her barrenness broke. The woman at the well, she got healed. Her barrenness. What was it? It was an encounter with Jesus, one-on-one. Sing. Worship, O barren. You say, why will I worship? I am miserable. I am sad. I am bitter. I don't have this. I don't have that. The church people are making life miserable. God says, my first call was not to men. It was not to your neighbor. It was not to the person. It was not about ministry. My first call was, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength. I called you to me first. Let's, you know what worship is? Worship is God saying, let's spend time together. I'm a spirit, you come through your spirit. Let's connect. Let me pour into you. Let me heal your heart. Let me mend. Let me pour joy in you. Let me pour hope in you. Let me break that thing. Let me remove that pain. Let me remove all those things. And we're still looking for man to go in the spirit in our lives and change us. So the Lord spoke to me, says, you want to break barrenness? You want to change your situation? Let's worship. I won't go into the details for time. I just mention it. So my brothers and sisters, God is calling Mount Zion to the place of worship. God wants to heal every bitter water in this place. God wants to heal hearts and wounds. He says, out of your belly shall flow the rivers of life, of living water. God wants to pour out water. God wants to pour out life. God wants to heal, and God wants to break. God wants to set us free and cause us to be fruitful. But he says the position that he will take to do that will be sing, O barren. Do you want to see people come? Do you want to see God move? Do you want to see people fill this place? God says it's not us that will do it. What we can do is to worship Him, and He will make it up. A few weeks ago, I was desperate. Very desperate. No, but a few months ago, I was very desperate. Three things that will break barrenness. Three things that will give you a miracle, and I close with that. Three things. I discovered these three things. A month ago when I went away, I was very desperate. I was very desperate for some specific results. Impossible results. Mountainous obstacle. Only my wife knows it. I went away. Just like Hannah. Men can help. Men can do. Men can do that. God, I'm going after you. I went and did what Hannah did here. I came back with a breakthrough. I went and I came back rejoicing. I came back with testimony. Even before I saw it, and later I saw it. A few weeks ago, I had another need. I was desperate. I went. And that's when God gave me the scripture I just read to you about man's Zion. And He says, from now on, don't look at these people. Look at the numbers. Very soon you'll have a building that you can't even contain the people that will be there, because the season has come. But here is the key. Don't complain. Don't murmur. Don't point. Remove excuse. Because with me, I have no excuse. Just worship. Come to me. I'm inviting you. Just come and worship. Worship with all your hearts. Worship and leave the rest to me. But here is the three things to be able to worship correctly. Three things. Number one is, you have to be desperate for it. Number two, you have to be desperate for it. Number three, you have to be desperate for it. What is number one? Number two? Number three? People that are not desperate never change any situation. They are comfortable where they are. Let's pray. Make me desperate, oh Lord. Make me desperate, oh Lord. Make me desperate for you. Make me desperate for you. Make me hungry for your glory. Make me desperate for you. Make me thirsty for your waters. Make me thirsty for you. Make me hungry for you. Make me hungry for you. I am desperate for you. I am desperate for you. I am hungry for more of you. I am hungry for you. all I want. Jesus, you're all I have I need. Jesus, you're all I want. Jesus, help me know you are here. You're all we want. Present Zion, the family of Zion, to you. Consecrate us as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you, which is our reasonable worship. Father, as we leave this place today, help us to know that you are there wherever we are. Just help us switch this switch and begin to worship you and begin to wait upon you. So when we come together, it will be a furnace and your fire will take us where only you will lead us by your Spirit. Thank you for what you're doing in our hearts. Thank you for the key that opens the windows of heaven. Father, even as you caused the physical rain to fall on dry grounds, and you caused parched, desolate grounds to become a fruitful ground, so let the glory of your presence begin to fall on us. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name.